He put his fingers into his ears, and spitting, touched his tongue, and said to him, Ephphatha, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The scene from today's gospel may seem a bit familiar to you. Now, a lot of the scenes of the gospel probably seem a bit familiar because we read them quite regularly and we remember them from time to time. That's not what I mean. This has a more familiarity to many because it is an easily painted scene. It is a scene that most of you have seen yourselves before. But where is it that you have seen this action done? It's at the sacrament of baptism. The priest imitates Christ there. He takes his thumb, he touches the tip of his tongue, and then he goes and touches the ears of the one to be baptized, saying, Ephphatha, that is, be thou opened. The priest then immediately follows it up by touching the nostrils, and which symbolize sweetness of the odor of salvation, that odor of sweetness of God. Why the priest does that? It is all about that symbolism. Our Lord did it to open up the ears of the deaf man as a miracle of healing him. But we do it in baptism as a symbolic opening, that the ears of the one who is to be baptized may be opened to the preaching of the church, the teachings of Christ, to the scriptures, and that all of these things may come to him as that sweet odor, drawing him, attracting him nearer to God, realizing that those teachings and all of that substance of knowledge of God and his church, these are the means by which, the pathway by which, following, he can gain eternal paradise. And so that action is done. We ask that the ears be opened to hear. The symbolism of actions and words and all that is taken in, these things are important because they are attached to our senses. And the senses are what God gave man for him to take in all that is around him and for him to analyze it and to know these things, to know them and to understand them. And despite God being a purely spiritual being, he has facilitated us in our natural way, in so many aspects, so that our faith is not one that is purely abstract and something that must only be ascended to by the supernatural alone, by a pure act of faith, but is one that is supported by the things that we take in through our senses. It's why in and spread all throughout the Gospels, what do we see? But miracles worked by Christ himself. God became man. He became flesh, a physical thing, something that could be touched, could be seen. And he worked miracles, things beyond what the normal natural realm allows for. But something that would be perceived through the senses of those who looked on. They weren't just mere party tricks for awe and wonder to be performed. No, there was a greater purpose to them. It was so that man would understand exactly who stood before them, that he could see the power of the divine in Christ, that they could ascend their beliefs more readily, more easily, in the teachings that he gave them. It's for that same purpose, the importance of the senses and how much it is intimately attached to us, that we see our Lord assisting St. Thomas. St. Thomas has heard already, that's one sense, the preaching of our Lord. He's heard about the foretelling of his resurrection after his death. He's seen and walked with Christ himself. He's witnessed even the miracles. Yet in his own weakness, despite hearing from others that Christ has risen, he has not perceived it himself. Yet our Lord knows the heart of Thomas. He's not a wicked man, but a weak man. And so what does he do? He gives him exactly what he wants. He appears to Thomas as he did to the other apostles. He comes to him, and as asked, he holds out the wounds for him to insert his own fingers into, so that he may touch and realize how real they are, so that he may never doubt ever again the words of Christ, the truth of his resurrection, the truth of his divinity, that he may hold fast to it always, that he, so strong may his faith be moving forward because he has seen, he has touched, that he now is ready to go to the ends of the world, preaching, relaying exactly what he has witnessed. He is willing to give everything, even his own life in the end, for the truth, which is the God-man. It's also why our Lord has, by his miracles, attached them to the senses in the ways of healing. So many times, deaf, dumb, blind, these are the things that are healed by Christ. Yes, he brings man back from the dead. Yes, he helps man walk again. But again and again he comes back to the point of the senses, because it is not just that it's good for those who are around to witness the miracle, but now the recipient of it, who could not see before or hear before, he himself can truly benefit by that sudden realization of Christ standing before him. And for our sake, it's the power of the senses that our Lord gives us, all of the symbolism so rich in our faith, and most importantly, the seven sacraments. What is a sacrament? You see the importance of the senses right there in its simple definition. The sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ that gives grace. It is outward. It is something that we can perceive with our senses taking place. It is there for us to know that those graces are indeed conferred to us. When we see a child baptized, we know by the water pouring over his head that that indeed is the washing away of sin from his soul. Think about yourself and the confidence in which you have moving forward, the comfort that you have every time you come to make a good confession, how that has a restorative aspect, not only to our souls, which we know by our faith, but because we have performed the action, we can sense the things taking place, the words being whispered by the priest, the following of the instruction of Christ and how sins are to be forgiven by his designated ministers. And the words of absolution and the penance given and the act of confessing it out loud, that we know our sins are taken away at that point. We walk away without any question or doubt in our mind any longer. That is the power of the outward aspect in giving the confidence of the grace given inwardly to us, invisibly to us, there. It's why Christ gives us the sacraments. This can be seen perfectly throughout history. It was confession that was a great source of conversion during the time of World War I, when the terrible fate of so many soldiers was to climb up over the lip of a trench and to run across a field open and barren with no protection amongst the hail of bullets. And yet, the Catholics would go and they would confess their sins, and they, when the whistle blew, would climb up over there bravely. And the Protestants who fought amongst them oftentimes would witness this and desire the courage that they had. They faced the same fate. It was the same peril. It was the same danger. They're made of the same flesh and blood. They too hold dear to their own lives. But the difference was that there was not a question in the mind of the Catholics that their sins were indeed forgiven by the priest. And so many a Protestant was inspired and ultimately converted because of the outward sign that they witnessed. We understand that too in the way of drawing us up to heaven. Think about the liturgy that we are partaking in right now, the beautiful singing that we hear, the wonderful smells of the incense, the beautiful precision of the rubrics, the genuflection when our Lord is present there upon the altar, the elevation solemnly recognizing Christ's presence before all of our eyes. Every aspect of the liturgy for the sacrifice of the Mass is for that end, to draw our senses towards the reality of the sacrifice itself, to draw our senses and to elevate us up towards heaven. Knowing that by bringing us in our focus, in our eyes, in our nose, in our ears, and all that we can sense with liturgy, our hearts are bound to follow after it. Because what we've perceived with our eyes, we are more readily to act upon with our faith. And think ultimately, if you want to really see the connection to the senses, in the end, when do you need the most confidence, the most strength? But in the time of grave sickness, danger of death, and ultimately facing down that inevitable end itself. The Church provides most explicitly here with the sacrament of extreme unction. We know that in our weakness of the flesh, it is by our senses in which we sin. And yet, these are the very things the Church chooses to anoint every time that sacrament is given. The eyes, what we have seen. The ears, the bad conversation we have heard. The nose, taking delights in the world around us and is focusing on the sweetness of fleeting things, rather than that lasting good of heaven. The lips and all the free words that flow from it and the gluttony which may take place. All that we have touched in our hands, all the places we have gone that we shouldn't have in our feet. One by one, anointed with that sacred oil, that balm of salvation, and strength to give confidence that these sins are taken away, that strength is given to where our body is weak, that our soul and flesh are united in that last battle and are not to be abandoned by Almighty God. This great sacrament gives great strength and courage by the very graces it gives. And God could just say, I will give you these graces and don't worry about it. And we would believe him. But our trust in him is frail, just like our faith is at times frail, just like our own strength against temptation is frail. But when we combine the things of our senses, our physical reality, with what we know and believe in our hearts and our minds, we complete it in a much more perfect way. We find that strength given to us to do what is supernatural, above what merely attracts us in this world. We find the beauty which is much more deep and incomprehensible by mere word alone. we find ourselves drawn upwards more readily, more easily. We find ourselves perfected because it is body and soul working together. Every statue, every painting, every sound, every smell, every action, it is all deliberately done from the time of Christ until now, given to us. Because why? God knows his creature. He knows we are compound, made of both flesh and spirit, that faith is not merely enough, but it must be assented to in the physical as well as the spiritual. It must be supported to be strong, to unite ourselves all together for that sole end of salvation. And so these outward signs, these symbols, they're given to us so that we may have one solitary focus. Every sense and every thought and every desire all reaching for the same end, the same God, and the same reward. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.